O Christmas tree, where are the presents? You ever look at a Christmas tree that doesn't have presents under it? Doesn't it look sad? It's just like the branches are falling down, going, nothing to hold me up. It just looks really sad. How many had a good Christmas? Good. I always say, if you didn't get what you want, go buy something for yourself. Get what you want. Oh, Christmas tree, where are the presents? How many of you know that the gifts at the Magi, that the three kings they call, but they're really Magi, which means they're astrologers, they're looking in the clouds, they're looking in the stars. That's how they live their life. They're looking for meaning in life. And they know there's a specific star system that's going to lead them. They don't know where it is, but they know that that's what's going to happen. And so the gifts that the Magi bring are about 2 years after the birth of Jesus. Approximately 2 years later. How many of you can wait 2 minutes? I'll bet I see people out here that are trying to find gifts before it's even Christmas. And you're jiggling the box and you're trying to figure out what's in it. You know. 2 years, that's a long time to wait for a present. Really. But they had to travel. They had a ways to go to bring their gifts to the Master. So in Matthew 2, 1 to 11, I'm going to read the portion, the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Because King Herod was such a person that if he was upset, everybody around him was upset. He made sure he ruined your day. He ruined your life. He ruined everything. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ is to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I too may go and worship him." You believe that line? No, this man only worshiped himself. He wasn't looking to worship Jesus. He was looking to destroy him. And they heard, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know why? Because the Lord didn't want them killed. They would have been killed had he known where they were. But you know as well as I do, when they went back to the east, guess what they were talking about? Not the star in the sky, but the star in the manger. That was the star, the gleaming light of heaven. Is Jesus Christ. And you know that's what they were talking about. So, what kind of gifts do we give to God, do you think? We knew somebody years ago who, he knew he was going to get drunk that night, so he decided to buy flowers for his wife as a appeasement when he finally got home. The only thing was he didn't plan on the fact that it was going to take him so long to get home. He gives them to her. They're dead. Dead flowers. When you hold on to a gift too long, it can be dead. And there are many people in the world that say this, I'm going to give my life to Jesus tomorrow, later. I'm going to yield to him my hopes and dreams and the future. Guess what, folks? Sometimes you don't make it to that future. The gift is today. The gift is now. I heard a story years ago of a man, I believe it was during World War II, and he kept talking about how I'm going to give to God, I'm going to give to God. Only problem was, by the time he actually was going to do it, the country he was living in, their commerce changed, and their money was no longer valid. And everything he had saved up to give was worthless, because it had no exchange rate anymore. The gifts that were brought to Jesus by the Magi, I'm going to get to in a minute, but I want to talk first about the gifts given to the Magi, which is very important. First one is questions. Where is he to be born, King of the Jews? Did you know questions are one of the greatest gifts that God has given us? You know that? Jesus spent more of his ministry answering and offering questions and listening to them than he did anything else. People think God doesn't want to listen to their questions. Of course he does. He just wants to make sure we wait around for the answer. That's what he's really waiting on. Jesus loves questions. And I think in a great sense, we're probably all spiritually anyway, perpetually 2 years old. Why? 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 You ever ask that question? Yeah. And God says, like my mother used to say, because I said so. I actually found this in a shop years ago, and it says, because I said so. I bought it just because of my mom. I thought it was hilarious. Because I said so. The Bible says here, they diligently sought after where Jesus was. If I asked you and said, I've hidden something, an iPhone in this facility for Jeremy, we'd have to reconstruct the building because I'm almost sure he would tear it apart trying to find that iPhone, because he would make sure he looked over every spot. We have so much interest in looking for physical, material things, and we will look until we are blue in the face. But in terms of spiritual life, we expect God to throw it in front of us instead of searching. He said, if you seek for me, you'll find me if you search for me with your whole heart. God knows how much of our heart we're giving to him. He gave us questions. He gives us perspective. I talked about this a couple weeks ago about this word. Herod was disturbed. The king was disturbed. You know why? Because when the words came up that there is a king born in Judah, in Bethlehem, he was furious because he considered himself the only king on record. And anybody else was going to be an interloper as far as he's concerned. So the Bible says Herod was disturbed. And he was mentally ill. I mean, history proves that anyway. But the word terasso here means to stir up, to trouble, and agitate. And if there's anybody that agitated, it was King Herod. He would just aggravate you. I'm sure if you walked up to him in that day and you were having a good day, he'd look at you and say, what are you smiling about? He'd try to ruin your day immediately. The word terasso means to agitate. It also means, which I think is interesting, to set in motion what needs to remain still. Did you know, and I think we know that in somewhat in government perspective, there are people in life that create a crisis so they can solve it and be the savior of that circumstance. They purposely try to create a problem so they can be the one who says, I solved it. It's not like they just got in the middle of a problem. They actually created it. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about somebody who not only purposely agitates, but purposely is going to try to destroy the Lord himself and keep. I mean, he wants them to search for him, but he doesn't want what's going to happen. But he can't control it anymore, which is wonderful. But the Magi didn't let his agitation bother them. We have an old saying that I'm not going to let you ruin my day. I'm not going to let somebody ruin my day because God gave me the day, no matter who it is. Say, Lord, I want to give it back to you. So we also find that the Lord gave them the gift of direction. He sent a star, a specific star. It doesn't say a star. It says the star. The word the is the definite article. It means only one of a kind. There is no other star. You've never seen it in history. You've never seen it in the Bible since. It is one specific star for this purpose that led them to the place where he was. And I love the fact this word aster in the Greek means a star, and it means it's strewn over the sky. It's just brilliant in its array. You can't miss it. You cannot miss it if you're looking for it. And these, again, are astrologers, so they're very adept at reading the stars. They are reading this beautiful star. Some commentators believe it was a comet. Doesn't matter to me. God could have created it just in his own sense. Doesn't even need to be something that anyone's ever seen before, because it was for one purpose and one time frame. But this stellar attraction pointed the way. And then the Bible says it stood over the place where Jesus was, where the child was. Do you know how interesting that is? Stars are suspended in space by the Creator, right? This one stood on its own. It stood at attention. It was lower so it could be seen. Can you imagine only the Creator can do that? I love it. Study the scripture, how he works in creation, and you'll have a deeper appreciation for the Creator, I assure you. And he directs us to him in ways and tools that, you know, for instance, some of you probably became interested in the Lord based on some books or things you were reading. Okay. Others, maybe you saw some Dr. Billy Graham on television, and it was very interesting, intriguing to you. My sister and I went to an evangelistic meeting because an evangelist came to our school, and he was cute, and he was blonde, and he was curly-haired, and we called him Nice Scenery, and we went. Only thing is, we met the Ancient of Days when we got there. And the Lord didn't much matter and mind that our motives weren't exactly pure as the driven snow, because he knew once we got there, we were going to meet the one who was. And I'm very grateful for that. And I'll ask you to keep praying for this evangelist, because he's fallen away from the Lord. Great tragedy. Great tragedy. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad I got saved by Jesus Christ, not by an evangelist. Never keep your eye on people. Keep your eye on Jesus, because otherwise you're going to fall when they fall. And that's really not beneficial. But whatever God uses in your life will be individual, and it'll make sense to you, long as it's biblical. Okay, it's got to be biblical. And the star stood over the house. Remember, it didn't say a manger. All the crowds had dispersed. The census was over. Of course, this is a couple years later anyway. And they're in a house. And it doesn't say the baby anymore. It says the child. So it would have been about two. Now, in this text, I don't see the name of Joseph in here. Do you? Does that mean he wasn't there? Well, we know he was there at age 12 when Jesus was in the temple and he went home with Mary and Joseph. So we know he's alive. He's probably working. He probably had a garage like Donnie does. And he went out and he was doing some kind of carpentry work. All the while Jesus does carpentry work, he knows the cross is in his future. He hears the nails. He knows that pounding is coming. He's probably out working. But we know he's there. Jesus went from being the baby to being the child. And then he grew in wisdom, the Bible says. Now, if Jesus needed to grow up, don't we? I mean, really, we all need to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What are the responses to the gifts of the Savior? Well, they were overjoyed. The Greek word charo means to rejoice and be glad, and it comes from the Greek word that means to lean towards that one. Did you know what the grace of God means? That means Jesus leaned toward us with his grace, not with his hand to smite us, but with his hand to hold us and to grab us and to embrace us. True rejoicing taps into the grace that we don't deserve. And there's no question about that. Bible says they bowed down. The Greek word means they fell down on bended knee. They literally fell. They subjected themselves to the one who yielded his place in glory. That's why we can yield to Jesus, because he yielded first. Philippians 2, the chapter of the kenosis, he gave up his throne and he yielded because we couldn't get there on our own. Wonderful one to worship. And that's what they did. They worshiped. The Greek word means to have reverence. And the word broken down means, pros means toward, and kineo means to kiss. Kiss is an affectionate term. Of course, Judas took it a little different direction, right? But it is supposed to be a very intimate, lovely gesture. He would kiss the ground where Jesus was. That's what this is talking about, to honor his presence, to go prostrate before him. Now, one of the words I liked for worship is the word worth-ship. That's what it actually means if you spell it out in the Greek. Worth-ship. He's worthy of our worship. He's absolutely worthy. And the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people, so when we praise him, that's where he's alive in a greater sense. Now, this is important because any gift you give to Jesus Christ must be bathed in worship. Do you know that? Have you ever had someone come up to you and go, oh, here's a gift. They just throw it in your lap. They don't even know who they're giving it to. Jesus wants our worship because without the worship, the gift is empty. He wants our worship. Now, the gifts. They opened the treasures. I love the fact that they came prepared. And they had to travel a good distance, and they brought their treasures. That's one of the things on Christmas Eve or whenever you're bringing gifts. You're loaded down. You look like a department store when you're going to someone's house. Imagine how far they were traveling with the gifts. And these were heavy gifts because they weren't like cheap plastic, okay? So it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They had to be traveled. They had to be careful in travel. You had to make sure you prepared so they didn't get broken in travel. And they were very, very valuable. And so it says here, they opened their treasures. They came prepared. The word treasure, thesaurus, means a storehouse of precious things. And for those of you that love words, it is the word where we get thesaurus, where you get your antonyms, your synonyms, your descriptions of your words. And the living word of God is going to receive these treasures. That is one of the wonderful things here. These gifts are valuable. And I know a couple weeks ago, Brian was talking about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I do listen, Brian, just so you know. And I'm going to talk. I shared this on Christmas Eve a couple years ago. Here's what they represent in the timeline of the life of Jesus Christ. Gold represents the deity. It represents Jesus was born as God. He was both man and God. He never ceased being God. Because if he wasn't God, he couldn't have died for us. He couldn't have performed miracles. He couldn't have healed people. He certainly couldn't have resurrected from the dead. He had to be God. And so gold is his deity in birth. Frankincense talks about his perfect life. Do you remember in the prayers in the holy place in the Old Testament, it talks about all of the incense in there, the prayers of the incense that are the prayers of the people of God. He had a perfect life Absolutely. He never sinned one second. He never had a bad thought. None of those things. This is what carried him through his life, the great frankincense. And the myrrh is that which they use for death. They anoint him for death. Now, if I brought you a gift and said, I would like to give this to you because this is going to remind you that you're going to die someday, would that be pleasant to you? Not particularly. But Jesus would have known what the gifts meant. And he knew that the Magi came and honored his life in a prophetic sense, even though they probably weren't fully aware of what it meant. But the Lord knew exactly what it meant. The word gifts, by the way, Doron, means a gift, a present, and a sacrifice. Remember the woman who gave the mite? She gave all she had. She gave it all. That's why she's mentioned in the Bible. It's a sacrifice to give. Should be sometimes. And when I was thinking about the gift, it's the word present. Okay? It's not the word past. It's not the word future. It's the word present, meaning right now. Don't wait to give God your best. Give it to him now. Don't depend on next year. I had somebody tell me once, he said, well, I'll give my heart to the Lord before I die. I said, and do you know that date and that minute? He said, no. I said, well, then you're taking a big chance. Because generally speaking, before people die, particularly if they have an accident or something that's negative, they curse God. They don't cry out to him. And that's the truth. Or something could happen in life that is a reversal and make a person more angry with God as opposed to yield to him in love and faithfulness. So my question is, what kind of gift have you prepared for the Lord? Is it one for the future? Boy, you know, we can be really robust in our faith. Say, Lord, 2 years from now, I'm going to give you all. But right now, I just don't have it to give. Give it right now. You'll find out that the gifts he gives in return are significantly better than anything you could ever imagine. So I want you to bow your heads for a moment, and then we're going to sing. If you're here today, first of all, the most important gift that we can give to the Lord, because he gave his life for us, is to do in kind and to surrender our life to Jesus Christ. There's no better gift. That's the one he's looking for. He can give you health. He can give you wealth. He can give you all kinds of things. But if you don't give him your life, then you really can't receive what he has to give you anyway. Or maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I gave my life to the Lord 40 years ago, and I'm sure it was meaningful at the time. Hey, let's bring it up to date. Today would be a great day if your life has become stale and the gift has been stuffed back in some closet someplace and it's growing, but it's growing dust. It's not growing God's best for you. And you're here today. You'd say, you know, I want to give that gift to him today and say, Lord, I want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. I don't want to wait for a better day because today is the only day. Today is the day of salvation. So if you're here, first of all, and you'd say, I've never given my life to Jesus. Maybe I've been confirmed. Maybe I've been baptized. But I've never truly surrendered my life to Jesus. And I'd like to do that today. And you'd say with an upraised hand, please pray for me because I would like to do that. I know that I am lost and I need a Savior. And you're here. Please don't ignore it. We don't know what a day may bring forth. And the Lord wants to know and wants you to know how precious you are to him. Secondly, if you're here and you'd say with an upraised hand, you know, it's been a long time since really I've paid attention to Jesus. I mean, I don't want him to be gone because, you know, I got to have him there in case I need something. But I've never, or at least for a long time, I've not really surrendered my will. I have a gift in the past, and I'm hoping for one in the future, but I'm kind of living my life today instead of his. And you'd say, pray for me because I want to. I want to make that gift in the present as a great present to Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. He loves you so much. He gave the best. Why don't you give the best? And you're here today and you'd say, pray for me because I need to just yield my life to the Master and haven't done it for quite some time. And I'd like to revive it. I don't want to miss anybody if you're here because it's important. It's very important. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord, for the gifts that you gave to us and for the gifts that the Magi gave. They came prepared. They came to honor you. They gave gifts that were according to your place in the future of this world. They gave gifts that honored who you really were. Father, we don't want to cheap out. We want to give you the most valuable thing of all, and that's our life and our control. And I pray for those that raise their hands that you would touch them today, and they'd have a newness of purpose and to know, Lord Jesus, you didn't come here so you could get accolades. You came here because we were lost. And without your presence here, we'd have no way to get to you. We'd have no recourse into the presence of Almighty God. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would remind of your great word and take us closer and further in our own devotion to you. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing a song that people, you probably don't know, but it's a great, great chorus for this portion of scripture. And Happy New Year to everyone. And I'm going to ask Mr. Patrick if he would close in prayer.
Father, we thank you that you are the creator of everyone. And Lord, you sent your son Jesus into an earth that had fallen. Lord, you gave each man a choice to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And Lord, to ask for repentance and forgiveness for the sins. And Lord, just go with us this day, Lord, and help us to be a light that shines before others in our actions and in our words and our deeds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.